to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. The ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
Thank you, Mr. Big Voice in the Sky, for your eloquent introduction, as always, here on the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast. Chip Patterson, Barton Simmons, we're here in person, face-to-face at HQ. This is so exciting.
Chip, I'm a little starstruck, man. I've like, only seen you over video when we've been, like, doing multicasts and, like, Skype interviews and doing the digital show. And now, all of a sudden, here you are, and you have such smooth skin, and you have this, like... You have this salt and pepper hair, and it's everything I imagined it would be, and this is fun, man.
We're going to be down here at the CBS Sports Digital headquarters. We are shooting some videos tomorrow. We are recording multiple podcasts, and we're fired up to be doing this in person. Normally, you know, we're trying to provide the smoothest possible flow that we can, but I think that, you know, in person, this is going to be some magical stuff. So, you know, SeatGeek and any other advertiser that wants to line up needs to listen to this, because this will be like what we send out to all the potentials.
Pressure's on now. Yeah, we got to make sure the chemistry hits. And it's Monday, the day after, or the week after a lot of big scrimmages around college football, a lot of, like, you know, first or second, like, competitive settings. And so there are some, you know, the cream's rising to the top a little bit. There's some frauds being exposed. There's some real meaningful news coming out of the weekend. So
where do you think, like, you've got 24/7's got boots on the ground everywhere. Coaches occasionally, like, there are some that will give you some pretty good insights coming out of these scrimmages. You've got the SIDs that will give game write-ups like it was the Super Bowl.
That's right.
With, like, quotes coming from, oh, man, you should have seen this redshirt freshman on an 83-yard bomb to this walk-on wide receiver. Like, there are lots of different ways to glean information from different scrimmages. In general, do you find them as a good resource for trying to figure out how these rosters and these depth charts are coming together?
Yeah, honest to God, I mean, I think if you look at the 24/7 Sports Network and just dip in and out of message boards and read the reports coming out, I think that's as good of a resource as any. But you also, you know, I like to talk to people I know around different programs. But even people who are – I mean, I've been in camp, and I've seen it, and the guys, you know, they'll be a freshman that just looks unbelievable, and you're thinking, man, this kid's going to make a difference. And then, whatever, like, he doesn't know the blocking scheme well enough, or he's the backup dime, and he just never sees the field. And, like, the guys that make these big impacts and make this splash in preseason camp – sometimes they get to the season and they're nowhere to be found. And so it's hard to weed through those guys. Like, who are the guys that are really going to play a lot of snaps and be good? And who are the guys who are just camp all-stars? And so that's where it's tricky to figure out what's what.
Well, let's go ahead and we're talking about players that are making a buzz. The Camp Buzz jingle is back at the Palatial Patterson Studios, so I got to give it to you on the acapella real quick.
It's even better in concert, man.
So who's buzzing right now, coming out of this first weekend where we just had those scrimmages? Give me the Barton Simmons Camp Buzz.
Okay, so let's go. How about to – where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Let's go to the ACC. All right, we're going to go down to Miami. We're going to go – it's all about the offense in Miami. It's all about
– because we feel so good about the defense.
Right.
Like, defensive front, we know they're great at defensive end. We know those linebackers that were all true freshmen a year ago are going to be studs all year. I mean, that's like – in terms of total defense, I favor in the ACC, like, maybe a Clemson or a Florida State is,
right,
like, a tick better. But in terms of just a defensive front, man, I'll put Miami right up there with NC State as, like, in that conversation.
They're
for being nasty enough to do some big things.
They're stacked. And we'll talk about the quarterback battle in a little bit, and that's obviously the most the important camp buzz, you know, maybe as anywhere in the country. But another area where they had a chance to get some help, and it looks like they've gotten it, is Navon Donaldson at the offensive guard position.
Ooh.
Massive enormous offensive lineman that came in. And honestly, when you talk to people at Miami about him during the recruiting process, they're saying, this kid's got a chance to start for us from day one. They almost expected it. And so he needed to come in and at least sniff some of those expectations. And here he is, and it sounds like Navon Donaldson's penciled in to the starting job down there at Miami at one of the offensive guard spots. So that, I think, is it's good and bad. It's good in the sense that the kid is as good as they expect him to be, and he's better than who was there originally. The only downside is now you're going to have a true freshman starting at offensive line, more than likely, and maybe a true freshman playing quarterback too. So that's a lot of true freshmen. It's an important
and
role.
And this is a Miami offensive line that lost Nick Linder earlier this month. Kind of an abrupt transfer from a guy whose his brother played there too. I feel like there have been multiple Linders at Miami.
Yeah, well, I think we've seen a few.
I think we've seen a Brandon Linder and a Nick Linder, and I think maybe his estranged cousin Kevin was going to be a walk-on.
There's a lot of Miami legacies. Like you get a lot of Miami families. He's one of them, I think. Yeah,
so he was leaving, and I remember that was one of those things that drew my attention to the position, because we love Amon Richards, wide receiver, right there. Mark Walton as your running back, you're feeling good about him. Is Gus the Bus still lined up? Gus Edwards,
is he still down there?
I don't know.
But the point being, they've got talent, and they definitely got, especially I think at receiver, where there's some guys they can get the ball to, and they just got to protect the quarterback. We'll talk about quarterback a little bit, but that is, I think, good news though for Miami that this kid is rolling into town and he's ready to play.
If he can play as well as Shaq Quarterman played as a true freshman a year ago at linebacker, then goodness gracious.
I think that'll help Miami recruit too, because now they're starting to bring in the guys and they're actually playing them as freshmen, and guys like to see that. And I think that will carry over. So, because they expected him to start, the fact that he is starting, I think, is really good news. Now let's go SEC country, and I'll give you two guys at Auburn. There's already some good buzz coming out from that defense that it sounds like it's hadn't missed a step from last year, continues to be a really good, really talented group. Big Cat Bryant, and if you go to Auburn's roster on their official website,
that's his name.
Dude's name is Big Cat Bryant.
His name's Big Cat. No, he can be a legend.
Yes, I mean, this is the beginning. Yeah, if you got the nickname, then that's the most important thing. All you got to do is just show up and just give him a little taste. So Big Cat Bryant is already giving us some reason to be excited. He got like a couple sacks over the weekend in the scrimmage. I think he had a safety. He is and a kid, and remember too, is one of those guys that Auburn landed on National Signing Day, really pulled an upset to get him. A lot of people thought he was going to go to Georgia, maybe LSU, and Auburn pulled a big upset on signing day to land him, and already that's paying dividends. So that, I think, is big, because they're going to need more depth. They're going to need more pass rushers. They got one in the Big Cat. And another kid that I'm really excited about that is sounds like he's too good to keep on the bench is Tadarian Moultrie, who is another kid who's actually a linebacker, looks like an absolute statue of a man, and he is good enough that he's going to roll down and be an edge rusher in addition to his linebacker duties. So they're already cross-training him, moving him to different spots. And I just think Auburn defensively, particularly in that front seven, I mean, they think this is one of the best linebacking cores they've ever had.
Yeah.
And
why, man, I think I might be sleeping on Auburn as a really, really good defensive team this year.
I think people get caught up in who they lost, but man, Marlon Davidson was really, really good last year. They've got Byron Cowart. It's his time to sort of his now or never season.
For sure. Yeah.
And these dudes can play that are the freshmen that are coming in. So look, I don't know. I mean, I just think this is further. I mean, Kevin Steele, I think, has got a group of guys that are going to be really good. And if these two freshmen can come in and just even give some third down pop here and there, Auburn could be getting some good news this fall. I mean, that's Clemson's going to get all they can handle there early in the season.
Hey, what's your pick there?
I've gone back and forth. I went from Clemson. I went from Auburn preseason to Clemson. I started to warm up to them, thinking, you know what, don't overthink it. Clemson's got the best D-line in the country, and forget about quarterback. But I don't know, man. I'm getting close to picking Auburn again. I just think that's going to be a really good game, and I believe in Jarrett Stidham, the newly anointed starting quarterback at Auburn. They just announced it today, breaking up all the suspense.
No more suspense. You cannot place bets on it. I got Clemson 27, Auburn 21. I think that offense is going to really struggle. Like it, and they might pop the explosives to be able to get their points, or maybe that defense ends up setting up a short field for them. But man, can you imagine an offense that is based on running the ball, tempo, and making the right reads, being able to effectively – how about this? Can you imagine Auburn being able to get an 85-yard touchdown drive off when at the mesh point when Jarrett Stidham's trying to decide if he's going to hand the ball off or keep it? It's just Dexter Lawrence or Christian Wilkins has got his big paw in there at the mesh point ready to rip it out.
Look, I agree. Here's the thing, though, is like Auburn is going to be – everyone's visualizing last year's Auburn team. You just described last year's Auburn team, like the – you know, all about the run game. And but what's Jarrett Stidham going to bring? Like, is they're going to have – I think I saw
– Barton Simmons' boy, noted Barton Simmons' boy,
right.
Jarrett Stidham.
That's my dude.
Ranked
– number one quarterback.
Ranked above Sam Darnold coming out of high school. Yeah, absolutely.
I think I saw that they had like 299-yard pass plays in the scrimmage on Saturday.
Which is a 5-yard pass with 3 missed tackles?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? Who knows? But I mean, Jarrett Stidham can throw the ball down the field. And it's going to be a fun game because Auburn's offensive line is really physical.
They are.
They're a strong group. They've got some diverse run game opportunities there. But it's a lot of strength versus strength stuff in that game. That's one of the early season games I'm most excited for.
Well, you just mentioned the quarterback battle being closed out at Auburn. We're going to get to this in the question of the day. The prop game in 2017 in terms of the prop bets that are available out there across the various places where you can make wagers are really incredible. We haven't quite gotten to a Super Bowl level where you're going to be able to wager on heads or tails for Alabama, Florida State. Wouldn't be surprised if we see it as we get closer to that kickoff in Atlanta. But one of the things you had was the quarterback battles. And I remember last time I checked in on the Auburn quarterback battles, Jarrett Stidham, the overwhelming favorite there. That has obviously come true. But some of these other quarterback battles are starting to take shape. We want to run through 5. Clemson, North Carolina, Florida, Miami, and LSU. We'll start with those Tigers because we were just talking about them for the Auburn game. I think that of those 5, that one is right behind Auburn as the next one to get wrapped up. Like, I think that when we go into the final week of camp, if it's not been announced, then we will feel very confident that Kelly Bryant is going to be the starter for not only week 1, where, you know, they get a little bit of a warm-up, but also for week 2 against Auburn.
Kelly Bryant's going to be the starter. And I think there was so much made of the big-time true freshman coming in and Hunter Johnson and what he was going to do.
And late push behind Zarek Cooper.
And there was
late push behind, like, Zarek Cooper
and
being someone to make some
noise. People love talking about Zarek Cooper.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Zarek Cooper's got talent too, don't get me wrong. But they're going with the guy that's got the experience. This is a team ready-made for a national championship. And just because the guy had a broken finger or whatever in the spring game and missed a few balls doesn't mean that he's not the guy. They're going to go with the experienced hand. They're not going to throw – Hunter Johnson is a really talented kid, but he is not a generational quarterback that you just have to get in the fold as a true freshman on a national championship caliber team. They've been coaching Kelly Bryant up enough to be ready for this. So, in my opinion, that's one where any drama surrounding that one is a little manufactured, not by Clemson,
right?
But by people wanting that to be something to talk about. I would be shocked if it's not Kelly Bryant.
All right. I agree with you right there. That's
you with me?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. But in the warm-up game, we're going to get to see Hunter Johnson. We're going to get to see Zarek Cooper.
In the opener?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, because they're gonna get up by a bunch. They're going to be able to have an opportunity to get the backups in there. There'll be just enough to give all the fans on the message board something exciting. I mean,
that'll be interesting because if we see Hunter Johnson, then
well, what if we see Kent State knock him off? Then all of a sudden, but everything's gone. Kent State goes into Death Valley, upsets Clemson in the look ahead spot against Auburn. All of a sudden, we're just calling for Hunter Johnson because Kelly Bryant threw two early picks. I don't see that happening.
But if Hunter Johnson plays in the Kent State game as one of three quarterbacks, I wonder if that's going to mean that he's not going to redshirt. And then, you know, they roll in. And because Kelly Bryant, if he wins this job this year, I mean, I guess you could conceivably see Hunter Johnson maybe beating him next year when Kelly Bryant's a senior. But I would still think Kelly Bryant goes in there as the favorite. So I just think that that's really interesting how Clemson manages all this. Do they redshirt Hunter Johnson if he doesn't start? Do they play him to get separation between him and Trevor Lawrence coming up, who's their next big-time quarterback, who's the number two player in America? There's some navigating.
Some
that
shifting math.
Do,
yeah,
right?
yeah. Because if a kid shows up early enrollee, like Hunter Johnson, five-star quarterback, he's there for spring practice. Do you want to be redshirted? Like, are you cool with the, oh, yeah, you know what? I'll just wait till next spring.
Miss my prom just to sit on the bench for a year.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing as we talk about these quarterback battles. Keep in mind, too, the new hotness in college football is just announcing it as if there's a quarterback battle just to extend the competition as long as possible so that your backup doesn't transfer. Because nowadays, these coaches, they just want to make sure that they're – because quarterbacks are going to transfer if they're not starting. And so now they want to make sure that they have the illusion of a competition so that they continue to have their depth heading into the season. So that's – not that I think Hunter Johnson is any risk of transferring if he doesn't win the job, but I don't know, maybe Zarek Cooper does. I mean, who's – that's I think, something to keep an eye on in a few of these battles.
Is Trevor Lawrence is committed?
Trevor Lawrence is committed, yeah. He is. He's right now at 24/7 Sports. He's the number two player in America, but he could very easily finish number one. He's a dude.
Love it. In North Carolina, I'm feeling Brandon Harris. I think that he's going to go out there against Cal, and I think he's going to have a chance to play well enough against Cal to, you know, put away any concerns. I am not thinking that there is anyone else, like no Chaz Surratt, no little young Buck Elliott, like nobody else has given me confidence in that quarterback room right now. It's Brandon Harris or bust for the Tar Heels.
Hey, I thought Nathan Elliott was sort of supposed to be a pretty good player, and I watched the North Carolina spring game, and no bueno. That was not – I did not find any confidence in that one. So that's your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
I mean, Harris makes the most sense. As a fan of humanity, I kind of hope Brandon Harris has a good year because that kid had a rough go of it at LSU, in-state kid, offense that didn't fit him, and really talented but just couldn't get school figured out. And now I think he's in an offense that does fit him, and I hope they give him a chance to be successful. I think they will. But that dude can sling the rock. I mean, he can stroke it.
There's another graduate transfer where I think that there was some belief, especially the way that the transfer process went, that Malik Zaire was going to come right in. And, boy, the recent word out of Florida's camp suggests that not only is Malik Zaire not necessarily the guy and he's not going to come in as, like, the definite favorite to get the job, but there's just uncertainty all around on who's going to be the starter, right?
What a mess, man.
Oh.
Hey, If you're listening to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast, you did not hear any Malik Zaire hype in this house, right?
Like no, that's true. Yeah,
we exposed that, I believe, early on in our show. I hope we did, if I remember correctly, because I was certainly on the anti-Zaire train.
Haters can check the tape. Yeah. They can check the tape on that one. I'm pretty sure you definitely came out. I might have been lukewarm. I know that you came out very much not thinking that he was going to be the guy.
And so here's the reset on where things stand at Florida is, okay, it's a real competition now. This was a kid that the buzz suggested, what we were sort of hearing was.
Actually, the only person who was on it was Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow believed in Malik Zaire.
He did, didn't he? Did we ask him? Yeah.
Yeah, we asked Tim Tebow on the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast about the Florida quarterback competition, and Timmy Tebes was all about Malik Zaire, claimed he knew him personally, and said that he was going to bring it.
Well, he's got that lefty love. You know, those guys stick together. And I'll give Zaire this, man. He's got a great personality, and I can see him being a likable guy. I wanted to root for him, but I wasn't feeling that, and he may still win the job. Like I think what we have now is a real competition, whereas before it was a propped up competition that was supposed to just run its course until Malik Zaire got the job. Because when he transferred in, I am convinced that they told him you're going to be the guy, because they just got done with spring ball. They saw what they had in Luke Del Rio. Reportedly, they weren't super thrilled with how Felipe Franks looked in spring practice. And now here we are, and everyone's counting Luke Del Rio out. And over the weekend, the reports are that Luke Del Rio looked the best of anybody in the spring game or in the scrimmage.
Don't count out Grandpa, who's on his seventh school in 5 years.
Hey, he's the one guy in that threesome between Felipe Franks and Zaire that you can count on at least know the offense.
Right.
You know, and he's got that stuff squared away. So, and now today I'm seeing some tweets or reports that Felipe Franks is running with the ones. Man, what a mess.
It's giving me so much less confidence. And the funny thing is, Florida's been a mess at the quarterback position and still won the SEC East the last 2 years under Jim McElwain. But boy, it's like there's only but so long you can ride those kind of heaters at the table before the tides are going to turn.
And, I mean, we should probably remind ourselves that Luke Del Rio was winning games with Florida last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't the reason they were winning games, but they were at least they were capable. But man, I don't know. Like it's just going to be more of the same. And we won't dig into all this, but I mean, the 7 suspensions, including Antonio Callaway, I am disappointed to see now those 7 suspensions and see the line move, because now that, you know, now my Michigan pick is going to look less expert and more just riding with public. But I do not see Florida beating Michigan in that game with their quarterback situation and Callaway out. And it's just, it, like you said, with every week I feel less and less confident in Florida.
Man, the only thing sharper than running a card cracking scam is to place the under bet on Florida and Michigan before they announce that Antonio Callaway, the one person who can generate explosive plays.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So at Miami, there is Malik Rozier, but there's Nikosi Perry. We think Nikosi Perry is going to be the guy eventually, and I think that we've talked about that in referencing Miami during our ACC shows, that you know, by the end of the season, it wouldn't be surprising if he was the guy. But the reports aren't just coming from camp. They're also coming from the players. People like what they've seen out of Perry. I feel like Mark Richt as a coach – I could be totally wrong with this read. I feel like Mark Richt as a coach might be hesitant – to throw Perry out there, you know, week one. But I think he's got to be in the mix, right?
Excuse me, a little cough there. Yeah, I think he absolutely is. And my read is that everybody wants him to be the guy. Everybody thinks, like, is hoping he can be the guy. And it's just a matter of whether they've just got the confidence to pull the trigger. To me, the only question with that, I my suspicion is that they would like for Malik Rozier to be the guy. I don't know about like, but I could see a scenario where they, where Malik Rozier starts the season. They, he plays Bethune-Cookman for the first half. Nkosi Perry plays. Maybe they just even rotate possessions for Bethune-Cookman. Arkansas State, you know, maybe Malik Rozier gets them a W there. And then Rozier goes and sort of wades into the fire against Florida State. And if he can win them that game, they ride him. But if things start going south, they pull a a Sam Darnold over Max Brown move, or a Jalen Hurts over Blake Barnett move.
Yeah.
And they throw in the youngster and just see what happens. And then it's a no pressure situation, because he's the backup. He's coming in. If he loses, it's no big deal, because they're already behind the eight ball. And then let him ride it out the rest of the way. Because after Florida State, then it's less brutal. You got Toledo, Duke, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, UNC. Like, then he can start to grow into the role a little bit.
That reminds me of, like, Deshaun Watson's first year, where Cole Stout was the starter against Georgia.
Cole Stout, man.
And he was out there for the beginning. Deshaun goes out there for a stretch of games during the ACC season, the middle chunk, plays like Carolina and NC State. He plays six games and throws for like 350 yards a game. Lights him up before he injures his knee near the end of the season and gets shut down. I think he had like wrist injury, knee injury, got a little bit banged up.
Yeah.
But it was the same thing where Watson saw action against Georgia, but it was a slowly break him into the season.
Because the schedule allows for a kind of a succession plan. And if they lose to Florida State, it's not the end of the world. And it's a schedule where they're capable of winning out. So I almost – you know, we'll see. I guess there's nothing to lose for starting Perry against Bethune-Cookman and Arkansas State too. But I guess I feel like if you're bringing Perry in mid-game against Florida State, you remove a lot of the pressure from him. So that'll be interesting to see how they handle that.
We had Shea Dixon from 24/7 Sports on, and one of the, you know, we asked for a checkup on Danny Etling. He was looking a little bit healthier. There was some confidence that he might be able to be in a position to be successful with Matt Canada in place. Barton, I just flew into the Sunshine State, sunny Fort Lauderdale, just flying into the CBS Sports Digital offices, and you tell me Danny Etling could be in trouble.
We'll see, but there's starting to be a little bit of Miles Brennan buzz. Like he took some reps with the ones today or over the weekend or something, and so he is, I mean, he's the number two guy now. And speaking of, you know, guys transferring out because of preseason happenings, Lindsey Scott Jr. is now gone from LSU. He's transferring out because he was there, one of the guys battling for that backup job, and Miles Brennan has sent him packing, it seems like. So I think Miles Brennan, like a couple of these other ones we've talked about, he is the quarterback of the future at LSU, no question. Can he win the trust of the team? Is he the guy? Is he physically ready right now? I don't know the answer to those questions, but he's more talented than Danny Etling. And so what kind of trust can he earn over the next 2 weeks? We'll see. But at the very least, he's making things – a little even more interesting maybe than I even expected.
See, and that's another one where you got to look at the opener, and I don't know if you throw him out there against BYU.
Yeah.
BYU salty. Sick. Yeah. BYU will crush a young, inexperienced quarterback.
Yeah, and there may be a couple of, like, underneath the pile, you know, a couple eye gouges or something going on there. Just, I mean, those dudes don't mess around. That would be a scary one to roll into. Is that a away game too?
It's Houston. I think it's one of those neutral sites.
Yeah, I mean that's again. I think when you look at after BYU, it's a trickier schedule for LSU. I mean, they got Chattanooga at Mississippi State is a tough game. Then Syracuse, Troy, and then they hit the
gauntlet,
murderer's row there. Auburn, Mississippi. Yeah. So. Yeah, I think that this could be another situation where you just sort of look and see if maybe there's a more subtle way to fold him in and weave him into the playing time. But man, I mean, I think that if Miles Brennan is the starter for LSU midseason, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good
thing. It's not a good sign. Yeah. I agree. I think that I would like to hope that maybe the reports of Brennan, who is the quarterback of the future, I would like to think that reports of him taking snaps at the one might be that we're treating Danny Etling with bubble wrap right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, because I do think the best case scenario for LSU is Danny Etling is
serviceable.
Yeah. Is becomes a version of Nathan Peterman for Matt Canada. And I think if they've got a sort of babysit a freshman all year under center, I don't know. They've got too much talent to need to do that, I feel like.
I agree.
Yeah.
100%. All right. Our award-winning closing segment question of the day. The question of the day is favorites or the field? This is a very interesting prop. We were talking about props and prop bets earlier. Bet Online has released some season-long props, and it is what I would like consider, Barton, to be the ultimate set of bar bets. You know, when you're sitting around with your buddies, enjoying some cold beverages, and you're like, all right, if I'm going to give you Alabama and Ohio State, and you get every other team in college football, who you taking in the 2017 season? So we've got some of those versus the field. I want to run through them real quick. Alabama and Ohio State against the field. Again, just those two teams, and then the other 128 in FBS college football. The field is favored slightly at minus 175, plus 145 to Alabama and Ohio State. But telling Barton that that's pretty close to even odds.
Right.
Just for Alabama and Ohio State.
Right.
You throw in USC. They're calling it the big three versus the field. Alabama, Ohio State, and USC against the field, even odds. 50% chance that the national champion will come from that group of three than from the entire field. Do you feel like that's fair?
I think the Alabama, Ohio State, like,
you think the Alabama, Ohio State's probably closer?
Yeah. I don't, USC doesn't change things dramatically for me when you throw them in there. I don't know that. I mean, trust me, I get USC as a title contender, but I'm not quite sure I'm there yet with them being sort of in that sure thing realm of Alabama, Ohio State. Is that, are you on that train?
I would put Florida State with Alabama and Ohio State in thinking about like, if I'm trying to do the three teams that I've got the most confidence in,
well, maybe
to go
even
and win
Clemson,
the national championship.
Like, maybe even Clemson. I don't know. Maybe not Clemson, but here's the way I would look at it. I think when I look at like the CBS Sports Top 130, I think that the teams that are capable of winning national titles stops at number 14.
Ooh, so you go all the way to 14.
And that's because that I would include, so like when I look at the national champions in like retrospect, I mean, Clemson, I predicted they would win it in 16. Bama.
Drop it.
that's right. Bama, I don't know if I predicted it, but certainly I wasn't shocked when they won it 15. Ohio State, I was, but in the same way that Michigan this year would be a surprise. Like they, no one doubted their talent, but were they going to be ready this year when Ohio State won it in 14? I think Florida State in 13, those Bama teams in 12 and 11. Like, I guess my point is, it's pretty rare that a team – now, if a team you don't expect might make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, see, I think my playoff list goes to about 12 or 13, but I think when it comes to getting to the playoff and then winning two of those games, like, from what we've seen in some of the – because, like, there's even the – you know, you've got your Ohio State of last year. You've got the Oklahoma team the year before. You've got Michigan State. Like, some teams.
Oh, yeah.
You feel, you're like, oh, man, dude, they deserve their spot in the playoff. They show up and they get pantsed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that, for example, I think Wisconsin is a playoff capable team.
But they would get to the playoffs and
they'd get
stopped.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
I and so, like, when I'm trying to draw my line for, like, legit national championship contenders, like, I'm kind of in this,
I would put I would go Alabama. Like, my bet would be Alabama, Ohio State, and not the field. Where, I mean, you're looking at me like you were about to go the other direction.
Nah. Because, all right, so Alabama and Ohio State, when they stand on the field against anybody else in the country, are more talented.
Yes.
Like 1 to 85 all the way through. So much more talented.
And you need the 1 to 85. You don't need the 1 to 22.
No.
And the national championship
That's where, like, Washington of last year is like, playoff, sure, yeah. But they're not 1 to 85.
Right, right. And so that's a big part of it is, and so when you look at the other teams that can just stand next to those guys from a talent perspective, Florida State, USC, Clemson, you know.
I'm not putting a single Big 12 team in out there.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma is the only one that can sniff it, but I'm with you. I can't really get there. You know, you could maybe argue Auburn.
I can't argue Auburn because I can't consider a reality where Alabama is not going to win the SEC this year.
Well, can you consider a reality where Alabama loses in the Iron Bowl?
Yes.
Certainly, right?
Yes.
And so then all you got to argue is, can Auburn take care of their business before the Iron Bowl? that's where the lack of faith comes
in. No, yeah. Alabama would get in like Ohio State did last year, where they didn't win their division, they didn't play in the conference championship game.
Right.
But College Football Selection Committee is sitting back like, but y'all know they're better, right? like last year, College Football Playoff Selection Committee was like, Penn State, hot team, great story. They're going to the Rose Bowl. Ohio State, pack your bags. You're going to the playoff. Like, I think that because we are dealing with this entirely subjective, like, playoff system and the playoff committee and everything else, I think it's Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State.
USC. I mean –
yeah, I guess you got it. Sam Darnold could come out and just be like Heisman.
You know what the camp buzz jingle was from this weekend at USC was the offense couldn't move the ball on the defense.
Offense can't move the ball on defense.
yeah, so there's you know, so
that's it. Which, you know, are you taking that as encouragement? I did say that USC's linebackers are some of my top five favorite position groups in the country.
You know what I took that was a little splash of cold water, like, let's not go overboard with Sam Darnold yet. Because he was unbelievable in the Rose Bowl and he was really good all year, but, you know, maybe we should just like wait before we anoint him Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall draft pick, and national champion. Let's just like take it one step at a time.
All right, so realistic national championship contenders, are you going to put USC on the list?
Yeah, no, I think they are. But okay. I guess my point is I still call it Alabama, Ohio State, and everyone else. And then everyone else is Florida State, USC, Clemson, maybe Auburn.
Maybe Michigan.
Maybe Michigan.
Yeah.
Maybe – I think maybe Stanford.
Ooh!
I don't know. I can't see Stanford. That's one of the playoff teams that gets stopped.
Yeah.
So I think it's two – it's like when you say – because like when you open the segment, you're like – Alabama, Ohio State versus the field. That's not – it's really – it's like Ohio State, Alabama versus the other five.
Right.
You know?
And who's going to emerge – because we assume that four of those teams, more or less, or three of them with another rando, is going to be in the playoff.
Right.
And then you just got to outlast everybody.
Right. And that's when those five stars start coming off the bench and those things matter.
You know? Oh, man, I'm fired up about it. Barton, thank you so much. Follow him on Twitter, at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Make sure that you subscribe to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast because subscribers get them first. Barton, we're going to go and hang out for a little bit and then be back in here for videos and meetings and another podcast. You down?
Don't be hungover tomorrow, man.
Hey, I'm always fresh.